Before the high holidays start, here's two things you need to know to get the most out of this time of year. Welcome back. I'm Gila Ross, host of the Power Up podcast, where we share short, relatable ideas to upgrade and impact your everyday life. So this is what we're going to do today. We're going to talk a little bit about Rosh Hashanah. It's coming up, I believe, in Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 3 days. Wow, that is fast. Right into it. And let's start with this easy question, right? When you hear the word, Rosh Hashanah or high holidays, what comes to mind? And you can feel free to put it in the chat, just like the first kind of thought, word, things that come to mind, put it in the chat, or you can even unmute yourself and tell us. But I'd love to hear from you what sort of words and things come to mind. And hi, Bev, nice to have you join us here as well. Hello, nice to have you. All right, so what comes to mind when we think Rosh Hashanah?
New beginnings.
New beginnings. That's a good one.
Sweet year.
Sweet year, definitely. Apples and honey, anyone?
Repentance.
Repentance. Ooh, it's a bit of a heavier one, that one, right? So we see, I think, from the snapshot of what we've had so far, is there's kind of like almost as if there's like two parts, right, to the Rosh Hashanah. There's, you know, the new beginnings, the new year, right? And all that comes along with it. Like, we feel and we wish others, you know, a sweet new year. For those of us that have had challenges over the past year, you know, perhaps it comes with this feeling of like, let this year that comes with it be a better year and a year, you know, with better energy. And if you've had a great year, you know, there's always things that we can wish for and want. And but there's definitely that if I want to express it this way, that kind of like lightness, that freshness, that hope, right, that comes with the Rosh Hashanah, the new year, right? This hope for a sweet new year, a year filled with blessing, with health, with whatever everyone is wanting. And then there comes with it a little bit of like a heavier side of it. And it's interesting because I was teaching on Sunday and someone actually mentioned this like very starkly, right? Bev said repentance, right? Which repentance can come with a bit of a heavier feeling, right? And I think part of where it comes from is what this person expressed when I was teaching on Sunday. And he said, like, you know, we grew up kind of learning that Rosh Hashanah, if you don't do it right, people are just like, you know, people are going to die. You're going to have a terrible year, right? Like this kind of like this, if I could be so blunt and call it like that Jewish guilt that you better show up to synagogue or you better do this or you better do that or else, right? Can anyone sort of relate to that? Thumbs up or a comment, you know, that feeling of like guilt or heaviness or even maybe a little bit of like dread or to this whole high holiday time. You can give us a thumbs up. If you can't, you're great. You're ahead of the game, right? So what I wanted to kind of look into over the next little bit of time that we have together is I wanted to look into what's behind Rosh Hashanah. Is there any truth to that sort of feeling of like dread that if you don't do it right, it's, you know, terrible things are going to happen. It's going to be catastrophic. And then how do we best use the coming days? So let's start with Rosh Hashanah. And I think it was Adele who mentioned new beginnings. You're 100% right, right? And there's actually a very fascinating idea because Bev said this, that the idea of repentance, right? And the truth is repentance is part of the high holidays, but it's actually part of Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah is actually the time where we get judged. Now, if you think about it, right? Imagine that someone goes to court. Doesn't it make more sense that they first, you know, repent, make a pledge to the judge, like, I'm really sorry, I made a terrible mistake. This is what I'm going to do to make sure I don't do it again. and then have the judgment day. Whereas here we have it the other way around. We first have the judgment and then we have repentance, right? So there definitely is that part of repentance, but it's actually much more connected to Yom Kippur. And it's the truth is it's a whole nother discussion, repentance, right? What it is. But Rosh Hashanah really is that freshness, right? And why one of the reasons why Rosh Hashanah comes before Yom Kippur is because it's a new year, right? It's a brand new year, and God wants to give us a brand new opportunity, right? Sometimes it's very useful to go through the past, right? To rehash what happened and to kind of think things through and go through things. And sometimes, you know what? It's just time to move on, right? And we have this in human relationships as well. Like, I don't know if anyone's ever had an argument with someone that they love, right? Whether it's a parent or a child or a sibling or a spouse, right? You have an argument, and sometimes it's useful to discuss the past. And sometimes it gets to the point where you're kind of like, okay, fine, we both need to move on, right? So, you know, that there is value to kind of just moving into a fresh start. And that's what Rosh Hashanah is. It's a fresh start, it's a fresh new year. And it's almost like an opportunity to walk into this new year fresh. Right, to do it as we want to do it. Now, the thing to bear in mind with beginnings is that there is no problem. There is an energy to beginnings, right? There is also a power to beginnings, and we see this in the world, right? For example, if you look at the way a person is born, right? Small mistakes during conception, right? Small like genetic problems during conception or the early days of pregnancy can have very dramatic effects on the child, right? Whereas later on, or once the child is born, right, those small little things, they have an impact, but they don't have as much of an impact. Similarly, the first couple of years of a child's life, right, the environment, the nurture, the you know, all those nutrition, all those things, have a much bigger impact than they will, you know, 10 or 15 years down the line. Why? Because the beginnings really make it. The same thing, right? If someone's drawing plans for a house or for a business or for something, and they make a mistake, even if it's a small mistake in the plans, then it has it's much harder to correct later on. Doesn't mean you can't correct it, but it's much harder to correct later on. I think, and I forget the exact details of it, right? There was a spaceship that exploded, right? And when they looked through it later, what they realized was that there was the reason why it exploded, it went off course and exploded, was because in the beginning they were a tiny percentage of a degree off course, right? And obviously with time, that tiny percentage grew and grew and grew, right? So when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, and we're coming up to it now, it's an opportunity to walk into a fresh new year. And we want to take this opportunity and we want to use it as much as we can, because the more we lay the foundations for the next year during Rosh Hashanah, right, the easier, apologies for that, it's going to be for us to stay on course. Doesn't mean that we can't correct it, it just means it's harder to correct it afterwards. So that's the energy of Rosh Hashanah. But the first thing we have to, but before we can sort of work into what do I want to do, what do I want to achieve this coming year, how do I get that this coming year, then we have to understand something first, right? And again, this is maybe this is a class on dispelling misconceptions about Rosh Hashanah, right? And about God. But we often think about, like, if you ask the question, like, why does God judge us, right? And a lot of us grow up or with this apologies about that, this idea of like God as this like man in the sky who's like looking down at us and waiting for us to step out of line and right, who's watching over us, and like what difference does it make, right? Like I do this or I do that, right? And if you look at Judaism's laws, they are so detailed, right? There's laws for everything, for how we wake up in the morning, what we say in the morning, you know, everything. So why does God judge us? And I think I think this is if you walk away with one thing from today, perhaps this is it. And that is to know that God judges us and God holds us accountable, because accountability is an act of love and care. I was learning with a student last week, and we were reading a little bit about this idea, and she told me that she grew up doing a lot of dance, right? Like a lot of kids, some kids do gymnastics, she did dance. And her dance teacher was quite tough on them. And she said to me, she said, my dance teacher used to say to us from time to time, she says, the reason why I'm tough on you, and the reason why I correct you, and the reason why I call it out when you're doing things wrong, is because I want you to progress and I love you. And she said to me, like, even as a child, she thought it was strange that her teacher would say that to her, that would need to say to her that I love you, because as a child, she knew that her teacher loved us, which is obviously, as you know, if anyone's an educator here or a parent, we have to make sure that the person that we're educating or our kids know that they're loved. But that's not enough, right? Because when we hold someone accountable, we show that we believe in them, right? We show that we know they can do better. Right, we know that they've got that potential, and we say this in the Moda Ani prayers, right? Every morning when we say Moda Ani, we end off, we say Rabba Emunatecha, right? Great is your faithfulness. And we're not talking about our faith in God, we're talking about God's faith in us, right? And God gives us a day, he gives us a soul back, because he believes in us. And God holds us accountable for everything we do, because God knows better than we do how great we can become, how much potential we can become, and how much of an impact we make. And it's interesting, because I was speaking to a friend from one of the places that I've lived in recently, and she made a comment to me in the past, and she said to me, she says, you know, sometimes until you we were talking about moving a lot, and she's also moved, we've moved, and she says, sometimes until you move, you don't realize the impact you have on other people. And it's true. And I think as generally as people, we don't often, you know, realize the impact that we have on other people, right? Very, very few of the times, right? Like, even let's say, for example, you have kids, right? But how often do our kids turn around to us and say, wow, the fact that, you know, you made dinner tonight for me made me feel so loved, right? Our kids aren't recognizing it. I mean, obviously it's doing that with subconsciously, or the but they don't recognize it, or they turn around to us and say, like, ooh, not this again. Right. So, and very often we fail to recognize it, and we underestimate how much impact we have on others. But Hashem doesn't, God doesn't, and that's why God holds us accountable. So the very first thing we have to do before we even start thinking, talking, walking into Rosh Hashanah is remind ourselves that accountability is an act of love and caring from Hashem, and that is why Hashem holds us accountable. So it's not because he's looking at us and he's trying to get us out of shape. It's because he knows how great we can become, right? And he knows the potential that we have, and he knows that we have this divine soul within us, and he holds us accountable because you have impact, right? And your actions matter, and you matter. So that's the first thing that we can do, that we have to do. But we have to also bear this in mind, and that is that sometimes when we talk about the accountability and the fact that we have this great potential and that our actions can make an impact, it can bring up anxiety within us. We can start, like, especially if we're prone to overthinking things, right? We can start to think, like, oh my goodness, you know, like, I've got so much to work on, I don't know where to start, or you know, like, if everything I do matters, like, how am I ever going to get it right? So relax, right? Because the same God that holds us accountable and knows how great we can become and will become, and knows how much we have already done, is also the same God that made us, right? And he made us as human beings, which means, and I hate to be the great one to break it to you, but he made us as flawed human beings, right? None of us are perfect. And Hashem knows that. God knows that because Hashem, God made us as imperfect beings, right? So the fact that we're going to be imperfect and the fact that we're going to mess up, that's fine, right? That's a whole nother discussion, maybe the part of the discussion of repentance. If we do that, of what do we do with the mistakes we do. But for right now, before we're not going to do that today because I want to still focus on Rosh Hashanah and using that energy of the beginning of the year. But bear that in mind that you're going to mess up and it's okay because we there is what to do for it. And if you're interested in finding out, let me know because we can definitely do a follow-up on that. But when we want to tap into the power of this year, right? So we're coming from a place, right? Just to sum up where we are so far, we're coming from a place, number one, that we know that accountability and Hashem's account holding us accountable is coming from a place of love and care. It's because Hashem cares about us and he knows how great we can be. And we don't have to worry about being perfect because God made us imperfect, right? God made us with those flaws which we're going to work through and become great through, right? When we mess up, we will mess up. It's okay. We're going to learn how to use those mistakes. But what we want to do instead is we want to start ourselves on a momentum of success for this year, right? So what does that mean? It means taking something, right? Choosing one thing, whatever it is. And there's a few things to bear in mind is that number one, when you're choosing something, right? Very often we turn around to ourselves and we think to ourselves like, okay, what should I take on this year? Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I do the other? And we spend so much time, maybe it's just me, right? So apologies if I'm talking whatever, but certainly happened to me. Like, should I do this? Should I do that? And I'm so focused on getting the right thing that Rosh Hashanah comes and Yom Kippur comes, and we still haven't figured out what it is. So firstly, anything that you choose is fine, right? It doesn't matter what it is, really, right? As long as you anything is better than nothing, right? Any action that you're going to do is better than nothing. But here's a couple of tips, okay? So tip number one is you've chosen anything, whatever it is. Number one is consistency is better than considerable. What do I mean by that? Is that it's better to choose something small that you could do consistently than something big, right? So let's say, for example, you decide that this year I want to work on Shabbat, right? So it's much better to say, you know what? Up until now, I never used to light Shabbat candles on time. This year, I'm going to make sure to light Shabbat candles every single week on time, rather than saying this year I'm going to keep one whole Shabbat, right? Why is consistency better than considerable? Because doing one whole thing, one big thing, or for example, let's say you choose that I want to this year I want to work on you know doing on volunteering. So it's much better to choose one thing you can do, let's say every day or once a week, even if it's something like smiling at a neighbor that needs something or giving chicken soup to someone who's old and lonely. It's much better to do that than to say, you know what, this year I'm going to organize a big fundraiser for an organization that I love and care about. Why is consistency better than considerable? On the one hand, it seems that if you do something big and considerable, it's much better. But there's two things to bear in mind, right? Number one is that when we do something consistently, we're building our muscle, right? So when you, for example, light Shabbat candles on time every single week, you are building your Shabbat muscles, right? When you decide to go out of your way and smile at your neighbor, even though you're not feeling it, or whatever it is, or give a small amount to charity, or say the blessings every morning, right? Say Moda Ani when you wake up every morning, you are exercising those muscles and those are getting used. And just like it's better to go to the gym every single week, even if it's once or twice a week, rather than go for 1 week a year every single day, because you're gonna the consistency is gonna build you up and it's gonna make you stronger. That's why considerable. The second thing is to bear in mind is that when you choose something that's small and you can do this consistently, you're more likely to be successful at it, right? If you choose, right, that I am going to, you know, smile at my neighbor, right? if that's something that's small for you, then you're probably going to be successful at it. And then you're going to start yourself on a momentum of success, right? And you can build on that. As opposed to if you choose this giant thing, I'm going to raise £10,000 for charity, $10,000 for charity, or I'm going to, I'm never going to talk bad about anyone again, right? You may very, you might fail. And if you don't fail, you're going to hit a lot of road bumps along the way. It's going to be much, much harder. So what you want to do is you want to start with something small that you can do consistently, right? If you're thinking, if you're got a goal that you're working towards, whether it's your relationship with someone in your life, whether it's your relationship with God, whether it's prayer, whether it's charity, whether it's kosher, whether it's Shabbat, whatever it is, break it down into something small that you can quite easily do consistently. And that should be your thing. And don't worry that it's too small, because if it is too small, you'll do it consistently and then you'll add on to it. But small and consistent is the way, and you want to choose something easy over hard, right? Again, the idea really here is you want to create a cycle of success for yourself. So something small, something consistent, easy that you could do consistently, and you walk into Rosh Hashanah, and this becomes your new identity, right? When you do this as this small, easy thing consistently, it now becomes your new identity, right? Whereas before, you weren't someone that smiled at this neighbor, or before you weren't someone that lit Shabbat candles, or before you weren't someone that said Moda Ani. Now it becomes, this is who I am, right? Because it's something small, something consistent, and something easy that you can add on to your life. And if anyone would like more brainstorming advice, I'm very happy to jump on a one-to-one call with you and sort of talk about like what it is that you want to get out of this year, and we could figure out a sort of what it is, that small consistent thing that you can take on. We've still got a few more days before Rosh Hashanah, and it's really just a beautiful way to walk into Rosh Hashanah knowing that this is a fresh opportunity. Hashem is holding me accountable because he knows that I can do it, and I have that potential, and I can do it by doing by taking. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this, you'll love my new book, Living Beautifully: How to Bring Meaning, Joy, and Love into Your Life Based on the Timeless Wisdom of Pirkei Avot. You can get it in any good Jewish bookshop on Amazon and check the show notes. Thank you again for listening. Have a wonderful new year. And please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out. All the best.